Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke, chapter 1. If you are able to stand, would you do so now in order to hear the gospel? In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before them to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The problem was there were just too many priests. So many of them, they didn't know what to do with them all. All of the male descendants of Aaron, you remember, were to be the royal priesthood. Aaron had been Moses' right-hand man, and all of his descendants, the royal priesthood, were to serve in the worship place in the temple of God. And you know how things happen. You see it happening in your own families. As the years move on, families grow. People have children, and children have children, and those children have children. Well, the same thing happened among Aaron's descendants, and pretty soon there were just too many priests. They didn't have enough time, enough opportunity for all of them to lead worship in the temple. So they divided the priests into 24 divisions. 24 groups. And if, as you can imagine, with 24 groups, there weren't that many opportunities through a year to serve in leadership in the temple. Maybe only once or twice, perhaps three times a year, your division would come forward to lead. And then, well, you know, the number of priests kept growing. And after 1,000 years, not only were there 24 divisions, but the number of priests in each division was huge. And so it got to the point when your division was serving during a week, the priest who was to lead in worship was chosen by lot. Now, how they did the lot, I don't know. They may have drawn straws. They may have cast dice. They may have drawn stones out of a box. But in one way or another, by lot, they chose the priest. But there were so many priests. Too many, some said. So that it could be It could be that as a priest, as a descendant of Aaron, you could go through your entire lifetime and never have an opportunity to serve in the temple. Never have an opportunity to lead in worship. To be the one who carried the prayers and the praises of the people into the holy place to present them to God so that God would hear and God would respond. It could be that you would live your whole lifetime and never have the opportunity to serve. But Luke begins his gospel by telling the story of Zechariah. And on that day, the lot fell to Zechariah. He was the one chosen to lead in the temple that day. Can you imagine the joy and the pride and the humility which that day would bring as the lot fell to Zechariah? Maybe the only opportunity he would have in his life to do what he did that day. But that day it happened. That's how Luke begins his gospel. He begins by telling us the story of how the lot fell to Zechariah. And Zechariah was the one who was able to enter God's holy place that day to carry the incense, the prayers, and the praises of the people. He stepped into the center of God's presence, into the center of the people's praise and worship. And he carried all that they offered to God into God's presence. I don't know what Zechariah was thinking that day or what he was feeling, but if he's anything like the priests and the pastors that I know, he carried with him a whole mix of emotions into the holy place that day. He was filled with anticipation, but also a touch of stage fright. He had to get it right this time. A little bit of ego mixed in with all of that. On his mind were also all the concerns of the temple, the budgets and the staffing and the differences of opinion and the deaths and the marriages and the divorces. He might have been worried about whether he was dressed well and whether his stole was straight. He may also have been concerned about whether his soul was straight that day, full of faith, but also full of doubt, all at the same time. Zechariah came to the center and to the forefront to carry out this ancient ritual, repeated daily, but perhaps for him, the only opportunity he would have. And if the crowd was like most of the congregations I know, they were a mix of all different kinds of things too. A mix of confidence and doubt and hope and hunger and dedication and despair and holiness and hollowness, all the ways that we come to worship too from time to time. When we're honest, that's how we all come to worship. We're a great mixture of all kinds of things. So Zechariah comes to this high and holy moment in the midst of the congregation. They are gathered for praise and for prayer. And Zechariah brings with him also in his mind the great tragedy of his life, that he and his wife have no child, they have no son, and that has been their heart's desire all these years. Zechariah, with all those things inside of him, the congregation assembled with all of their things inside of them, and Zechariah enters the holy place with the incense, carrying the prayers and the praises of the people. And lo and behold, right there on the right side of the altar of incense, right in the midst of all his ritual and ministrations, his crying out to God, his carrying the people's prayers and praises, there an angel of the Lord appears. And the encounter took him completely by surprise. Isn't it interesting that the clergy are the ones who seem to be most often surprised when God shows up for worship? Luke tells us that Zechariah was terrified and that he was overcome with fear. Another translator says that he was paralyzed with fear. And what was the word that Zechariah received from the angel? Do you remember when the angel spoke to him? What was it that the angel, that Gabriel said to Zechariah? Don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. Don't be afraid. your prayer is heard. Of course, there was much dialogue that took place after that, but that's where Gabriel started. That was the beginning place, and that was the most important thing for Zechariah to hear that day, and I think that's the most important thing for you and me to hear today, too. Don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. Here is the basic affirmation. This is the reason that we come to worship in the first place. This is the basis for the message of this season and the foundation of our faith. It is this hope that there is a God who is there and a God who is here. A God who listens, a God who hears, a God who cares, and a God who responds. The gospel begins with a word about the very nature of God. God is faithful. God does hear our cries and weeps with us and laughs with us and responds to us and continues to love us on and on and on, whether we are lovable or not. God is faithful. Do not be afraid. Your prayer is heard. When Luke begins to tell us the story, he doesn't begin by telling us about Zechariah's faith at this point. The fact is, Zechariah may not have been all that faithful at all. In fact, his doubting is what leaves him speechless later on. The focus of the story, though, is not Zechariah's faith or Zechariah's faithfulness. The focus of the story, it's God's faithfulness. God is here. God is there. God hears. God is merciful. God loves. God hears your prayers. In the days of Noah, when the world was corrupt and filled with sin, God took action to judge His creation and to save it. In the days of Moses, when the people were in bondage in Egypt, God delivered them. In the days of the prophets, when the voice of God fell on deaf ears and the people were wandering without wisdom, God spoke and God sent His messengers. And now, even in the days of Herod, when the hated Romans were in charge, God comes with the promise of a Savior in the birth of a child, the hope of salvation. God is there. God is here. God is faithful. God listens. God hears. God loves us. God responds. The gospel begins with that affirmation. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. To everyone's surprise, when Zechariah reappears out of that holy place and into the presence of the congregation, he is tongue-tied, speechless, dumb with the news that Elizabeth would bear a son and they would name him John. You know the rest of that story about how God fulfills His promise and answers their deepest longings with a child. You know the rest of the story about how John prepares the way for the coming of Christ and how the Savior is born. You know the rest of the story. But for today, just for today, I would like to leave Zechariah right there in the temple, in the holy place, at the altar, confronted by an angel with this seemingly simple and yet profound promise, because it is the same promise you and I need today. You know the rest of the story. But just for today, in a day when we are often paralyzed by our fears, in a day when we are broken by the violence all around us, in a day when we are concerned for the health of our children, in a day when we are hopeful for more jobs will soon be available for more people, in this day and in this hour, the word of the angel comes once again. And we know them to be words for us as well as words for Zechariah. Words of assurance and confidence and hope. The word of God's faithfulness. The word of Advent hope. It is a word which undergirds all the other words which are to come. Don't be afraid. Your prayer is heard. Amen.